There's something in my eye.
Starts crying.
Today we have Brianna Chicken Fry, host of Plan Bree podcast and BFFs podcast with Dave Portnoy and Josh Richards, the CEO of Hangovers, mm-hmm. the Dr. Phil for college advice, and the pickleball champion.
Yes. How are you? I'm so excited to be here.
I can't believe you won in pickleball today.
I know. It was really hard. I went against David and Taylor Lautner, and I won the whole entire tournament.
Are you a Lautner fan?
I am.
Are you? Were you freaking out?
A little bit. Dude, if you told me when I was like 13, hey, in the future, you're going to be playing pickleball didn't even exist then, a pickleball tournament with Taylor Lautner, I think I would cry and shit myself. Maybe even kill myself.
Like, no, I can't do like, that can't. Now.
This is so crazy. His life is like turned into something so crazy. That's like a Mad Lib that happened today.
He walked behind me and I look over at Caitlin. I'm like, is that Taylor Lautner? She's like, yep. I'm like, holy fuck.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
Like, why are you? I mean, I love it, but what's going on?
I wanted to play so bad.
Why didn't you play?
Because it was ambassadors only and then like free play after.
Okay.
Anyways.
Pickleball.
How'd you get paired up with Barstool?
Okay, this is, I guess, kind of a long story. So I started at Barstool in 2020, but I started making TikToks in like 2019. I think it was still Musical.ly, and then like the week later it changed to TikTok.
Were you always Brianna Chicken Fry?
Yeah.
Even on Musical.ly?
Yeah. Well, maybe it wasn't Musical.ly. It was like the week after it changed to TikTok, and I made one because everyone was talking about it, but everyone was still doing dance videos. Not a dancer. So I like joked around on it and I was like fucking around to the music and like making stupid videos. And I made my name Brianna Chicken Fry. My real name is Brianna LaPaglia. No one knows that. They think my last name is Chicken Fry.
Oh, I thought it was Chicken Fry.
No, but people really do. They're like, wait, your last name's not Chicken Fry when they see my Instagram? I'm like, are you fucking stupid? But I guess it's my fault. Anyways, I made that my name and I didn't think I was going to get any traction. So I started making TikToks at college being the hungover girl. That's where I became the CEO of Hangovers.
What were you, sophomore? Junior?
Sophomore when I made a TikTok, yeah. So I was sophomoring it up, being hungover. I
was like, anyone else in your friend group doing it?
No. It was embarrassing.
So you were the only one on your phone filming everything.
Yeah, I was filming. That was always me, though. I was making vlogs and posting vlogs on YouTube for like 200 views. Like, I've just like always been doing it. I was on Vine. I went viral a couple times and I was like, my future's set. But I didn't think anything was really going to happen from it. And that's where the name Chicken Fry actually came from. I made a Vine where I thought my leg looked like a Burger King chicken fry. And then it went viral. And I'm like, I'm going to stick with the Chicken Fry name. So that's why I made my TikTok name that. Made the Hangover videos. And Barstool DM'd me one day. And I'm from Boston. So Barstool's like mega in Boston. It's like Dave Portnoy is God where I'm from. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. And they DM'd me to come into New York. And I went into the office. I got drunk before because I was so nervous. And they gave me an internship while I was at school.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. So
you were going to school there?
I was going to school in Cleveland.
Oh, how'd that work? Wait, isn't Cleveland, Ohio?
Yeah.
Oh, you dropped out. Got the internship.
Well, I was still in school doing it. And I was like, I got to pick if I'm, I was pre-med. I got to pick if I'm going to ruin my career like online. I can't be a doctor if I'm like drunk online. So yeah. I was like, kind of got to pick one of the two. And I dropped out and it worked. I like got a U-Haul and drove across the country by myself and moved to New York.
Was that a hard decision for you?
Yeah. I cried for, I don't know. It's just so weird because you don't know if it's going to like work out. So I was really intimidated and scary. Like I only had, I think, 80,000 followers when I dropped out.
On Musical.ly?
On Musical.ly. Yeah. And I was dancing. No, but I was so intimidated, so scared. And it was COVID when I moved to New York. So it was a ghost town. I had no friends. It was terrifying. I was like in a male dominated company. And I was just like, fuck it. I got to go for it or I'm going to not have a job ever again.
Yeah. That's bananas.
I know. It was scary.
I can't believe you were making vlogs back then.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Are they still up?
Yeah. I'll send you a clip. We can like put it in or something. They're so bad. They're so bad. But they're awesome. I just like would record with all my friends in like high school and I would edit them all. I've always loved David's vlogs. So I would watch them in high school and be like, I want to do this. And then I recreated them. And now this is all crazy to me.
And you went out and you bought a camera and you learned to edit yourself?
Yeah. I was an editor. Yeah. I don't do it anymore, though, and I miss it. We were talking about that before we started. Like, editing is kind of like the best process of it because you get to create it. But I don't do it anymore. I've lost my touch.
Would you go back to making YouTube vlogs?
Yeah, for sure. I still, like, I make vlogs. I'm vlogging all of this, actually. But
on YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So I still make vlogs, but like my producer edits them and stuff. I post, I don't know. We do a lot of content, which is fun. I feel like I'm doing a lot.
That's great.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with Barstool now? Because you do two podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Two Barstool podcasts.
Anything else?
And like a bunch of blogs, and I'm doing a live show tour. Tickets just dropped today, so if you want to come, you can come.
Yeah,
but it's a lot. I don't know. I'm usually not in the office anymore. I'm traveling for Barstool, which is crazy, but I did this thing, the last 2 years, I like recreated, Barstool used to have this thing called the Blackout Tour, where Dave and like a couple other guys at Barstool, they would just like go to college towns and like throw huge parties, and like everyone would get fucked up and it would be crazy. So I like recreated that with the girls, because my audience is like 90% women, which is awesome. So we went in the past 2 years to, I don't know, dude, like 45 colleges, and just threw insane parties. And I was talking about this with you earlier. I feel like it's aged me. I feel like I'm like 45 now, because I was partying so hard and I'm known for partying. And now when people hang out with me, like my followers, they think I'm still going to be so crazy. I'm like, mama doesn't have it anymore. She's granny.
How old are you now?
24. But I feel 45.
What was the wildest thing that happened at these parties? Oh, are people trying to impress you?
People are just like, I'm going to get as belligerently drunk as I possibly can. And in a room full of girls, it's like a safe space. That's what I always say, because there's really no guys at them, which I'm like, you're stupid. Because the guys, I'm like, this is where all the girls are. Why don't you come?
That's so interesting.
Pretend to be a Chicken Fry fan.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, you'll get a girl, a pretty girl. But, dude, people would just absolutely go insane. Like, people would shatter bottles. And like, I have a scar. Okay, see this? I like cut down to the bone at one of my parties in Colorado. We were on stage and I thought it was a champagne bottle, like to pop. It was a twist off like sparkling wine thing, like wasn't even alcohol. So I went to twist it. My whole entire finger got like sliced open down to the bone. I'm bleeding all over this girl in the front row. My blood's in her mouth, and she's like, I'm drinking Brianna chicken fried blood. I'm like, you're fucking crazy. But it was like, let's go. And then like I was supposed to go to the hospital. Didn't go to the hospital because I was like, the show must go on. And my security was trying to take me to the hospital after, because like my bone was literally right there. I was like, no, we're going to the after party. We're going to frats, man. Like I was so in it because I dropped out of college. So I was like, I want to get my last like senior year in. So washed up, man. Sounds so lame. But I didn't go to the hospital. And then the next day at the airport, it like reopened, and I had to get stitches like in the middle of the airport from like a half-ass fake nurse EMT thing. Yeah. It was crazy. That was probably the craziest thing that ever happened.
Is it you and Grace?
Yeah, it was Grace and I.
Oh, that's so cool. It's the two of you.
I know. That's my best friend. Yeah.
You've known each other since you were 10.
Yeah. People don't seem to know that. They get so shocked. They think we're just like podcast hosts together and like worked at Barstool. But we met when we were 10 in fifth grade, and we've literally been inseparable since.
Who brought who into Barstool?
I brought Grace to Barstool. I just brought her around until they would hire her. I'm like, she's not leaving. So when I dropped out of school, it was COVID, like I said, and I called Grace and I'm like, hey, I'm moving to New York. You want to come with me? And she's like, yeah, sure. So she dropped out as well because it was COVID. So we were going to take a semester off. And she took a semester off, came to New York with me. We moved into like this shitty, like disgusting, it was so bad, the shittiest apartment ever.
How'd you find it?
On Street Easy. If you're in New York, that's how you find apartments, Street Easy.
Street Easy.
Street Easy. It's the best. But we got a COVID deal. So it
but
was
did
like,
you know that it was that shitty?
No. No. And we didn't view it before we went. Like, we just had to, like, move. It was, like, quick.
Yeah.
So we move into this apartment. And we were just so excited because our dream, like, when we were younger, we always wanted to live in New York together. So we were finally doing it. We were just so excited. We didn't care what the apartment was. And we move in. And it's a ghost town, like I said, because it was scary. No one was there. It was COVID. Everyone moved out. And we're like, oh, fuck, New York sucks. We had to eat dinner outside on the side of the road, like 30 degrees out because of like the COVID. We couldn't go inside. And like I said, I just kept bringing her to Barstool until someone finally was like, who is this? I'm like, this is Grace O'Malley. I got to hire her. And then she got hired. And I'm like, she's my co-host now, okay? Like, I had her editing. Like, I would just give her, like, fake jobs. I was like, she's my manager. She's my producer. She's doing this. She's doing that. Just, like, until she got her foot in the door. And, like, I brought her there, but she, like, totally deserves her job and shit. She's great. And now we're doing the Plan B together, and she's my co-host. And it's awesome. Yeah, inseparable since we were 10.
How many episodes have you guys done?
I don't know how long Grace has been on it with me. She's been on it for, like, maybe a year, but I think we're on episode like 190 or something. Yeah
you've been going for a while.
And it was so bad when I first started. Like, I looked back, I actually did this. I don't know if you probably should do this. It's fun to like look back on your first episodes.
Oh, the audio is awful.
Awful. Just like, what am I saying? Like, I used to try to write scripts and like read from shit and try to be like so calculated with it. They were so fucking bad. I would have like the randomest guests on, and it would just be me in my college room, because I did start the pod in my college room, just like ramble. It's
oh, even before you went to Barstool?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was like doing it in my college room, in my college house. And looking back at it, it's just so crazy. Like I had this fake little microphone that I got at Best Buy. And it was so bad, man. But it's so like.
It was just you rambling?
Yeah. It was just me.
Oh, I have to go back and listen.
Yeah. It's crazy to look back on. I did it the other day and it was cringe. I can't even look back at my old TikToks.
When did you first pick up a camera? And like, when did you realize that you loved posting yourself on the internet?
Well, okay, so growing up, this was awesome in my neighborhood. It was like all my friends live in my neighborhood together, and my cousins were my neighbors, and we would make movies. So I would cast everyone in my neighborhood as people in these movies. I would write these movies. I would film them and direct them. I was like 10. So we'd make these scary movies. I remember I got my first underwater camera, and I was like, okay, we're going to do this shot. I would always make, there would be scary movies and I'm like, someone's got to die.
Learn your lines.
Yes, literally. I was such a bitch. I'm like, you're not doing it right. I'm 10 years old bossing around.
One more. I used to spray my friends with fire extinguishers. I'm like, we need this clip.
Yeah, no, we need it. We need to get it. And it was so fun just like making the scary movies. And I would have these shitty cameras, the underwater one. And it would always be a body falling into the pool in this weird scary movie that we were making. And they never saw the light of day. I still have them on like my old MacBook. Yeah. I always knew this is what I wanted to do. I was like a film minor in college. So I don't know. I think I knew I was going to end up doing this. I just didn't think it would like work out the way it did.
There's a quote by Bill Gates that whatever your passion is from when you're like 10 to 19, mm-hmm. that's what you're going to be the best at being in life. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that what you were doing was taking over the world of like the internet.
I know, and like, so crazy.
Thank God you weren't riding horses.
I know, thank God. What were you doing when you were 10?
Same exact thing.
Yeah?
I was the one with the camera. I had the mm-hmm. video ideas. I was editing them. Mm-hmm. I was posting them on YouTube. Mm-hmm. There was a competition for an all-time low music video. And I remember I skipped school that day, and it was back on YouTube when if you hit enter, you kept getting more views.
Yeah.
So I just sat there. I just kept hitting enter, and ended up winning an iPod video.
Wait, that's crazy. Wait, want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
I used to be a scammer on YouTube.
Shut up.
Okay, so
wait, whoa.
I know. Okay, I was 10, or I was like 12, whatever. And I wanted subscribers so bad. So I'd be like, all right, I'm doing a Beats giveaway. I would have like my Beats that I got for Christmas, and I'd like have the box. And I'm like, all right, when I hit 200 subscribers, I'm going to mail one of
you
guys.
Wait, are you 10 doing
Beats.
This?
Yes. And so then we would have my cousins enter the contest, and they would like be the winners. Yeah. And then like they would send in a video like, I got my Beats, but it wasn't. I was just scamming people to follow me. And I did it like so many times until I had like 400 subscribers, which I thought was crazy. Oh, I was just out here scamming people.
That was so much. I used to just make fake. Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code LIGHTWEIGHT. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and can take you to the mood that you're looking for. Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help get you in the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And it ships discreetly to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations. Not only is every Mood product backed by 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code LIGHTWEIGHT. So head to mood.com, find your functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code LIGHTWEIGHT when you check out to save 20% off on your first order. We all want to feel our best, but let's be real. Some wellness trends are hard to stick with. Taking shots of apple cider vinegar? No thanks. Swallowing giant vitamins? Not for me. Goalie Nutrition is wellness made easy and delicious with their chewable gummies. From apple cider vinegar for digestion support to ashwagandha for stress relief, Goalie's gummies fit effortlessly into your routine. They're made with high quality ingredients, taste amazing, and are packed with essential B vitamins to help you feel your best every day. Apple cider vinegar has been used for centuries as a traditional remedy for digestion and gut health, now in a convenient gummy form. More than just ACV, from ashwagandha for stress relief, plus they're packed with essential vitamins, organic ingredients, and no artificial nonsense. No mixing, measuring, or mess. Just grab, chew, and conquer your day. Made for every lifestyle with a formula that works for you. Plus, they're made in the USA. Loved worldwide. So head to goalie.com now and get America's number one ashwagandha and apple cider vinegar gummies at an exclusive 42% off. Give them a try, risk-free. Backed by their money-back guarantee. because wellness should be simple, effective, and delicious. Don't wait. Visit Goalie.com today.
Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredients as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. I do have a few friends who have used GLP-1, and it helps get them on the right path to sustain a healthier lifestyle. It's helped with weight loss and confidence. So if you're ready to level up your weight loss game right now, my listeners can get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with my code LIGHTWEIGHT at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use code LIGHTWEIGHT to get $50 off your first month of GLP weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today.
Accounts. So I had a little notebook, and I had every email and password that I made. And before you know it, I get like 40 emails, and I had 40 subscribers.
That's a hustle. We were hustling.
Yeah. And look at us now.
I know. It kind of worked.
We're not scamming anymore. No more.
And we're scamming.
I don't know. You're part of such a massive name, Barstool. Do you get a lot of opinionated people coming to you to try and just throw whatever they think of you guys on?
Yeah. That is like, Barstool is such a double-edged sword because there's a lot of opinions about it already before people really know what it is. Like, people think it's this frat-centric, super bro-y, like, terrible company. And to a sense, like, yeah, there's the frat part of it. It's like a college company. There's a lot of men in it, but there's so much more depth to it. So I get so frustrated when people are like, you work at Barstool Sports, like, you're a misogynist, I don't like you. I'm like, dude, our CEO is a woman. Like, two of the top podcasts in the whole entire company are ran by women. Like, there's so much more to it. And it just makes me so sad when people don't give it a chance. I'm like, just give it a chance. Things change and things grow. Because I do not agree with some of the shit that used to happen at Barstool and, like, what it was. But it's grown. It's evolved. It's been 20 years now. 20 years. That's a long time.
That's a really long time.
Yeah.
Were you aware of it when you were a kid?
I was aware. I always thought it was just Barstool, the Instagram page, like, posting crazy videos. I didn't know that there were so many, like, avenues in it and so many different podcasts and shows. I kind of just thought it was, like, Pizza Guy Dave and let's post, like, crazy videos on Instagram.
But didn't they start out as, like, a magazine?
Yeah, a newspaper.
Right.
It started out as, like, a news Dave making a newspaper and, like, forcing it upon people in the streets.
And did you see that when you were a kid? Like, was it on newsstands?
I never saw it, but, like, all of my family, like, my dad and my uncles, they, like, grew up with Barstool. Like, they evolved with Dave. So I kind of got the rundown. Before I went in for my internship, I, like, made them sit me down and give me the history of Barstool so I didn't look like an idiot.
Would you tell them what was their reaction when you told them that you were going to interview at Barstool?
Oh, my God. My uncle.
Here's little Brie making videos on Musical.ly.
Well, my parents are kind of older. My mom is, like, she had me when she was 37, so she's, like, fucking, she's older now. Yeah. So she doesn't really know the internet. She does now because she's obsessed with TikTok because I'm on it. She sends me TikToks every day of, don't forget about your mom. Your mom loves you, TikToks.
I love, like, the way you filmed this one, Brie. Yeah.
Give us a shout out. Shout out, Mom. But my mom was like, what are you, Barstool? She thought it was a furniture company. But my dad was like, Prez, like, go Prez, Dave Portnoy. My uncle, like, shit his pants. They were so excited for me, and they were like, you can't fuck this up. Like, you have to do this. You have to do well, or you're going to be a disappointment.
Do it for the chicken fry family.
I'm like, okay, guys, I got you, I guess. But it was so fun. We just had the Barstool, like, 20th year anniversary in Boston the other day, and I got to bring all my family to it, and they got to, like, meet Dave, and it was, like, a dream come true for them. So it's sweet to, like, get to give back to them since they loved it before I even knew what it was.
Yeah. Is he, like, a superhero in Boston?
Oh my God, he's God. Like, literally the God of Boston. It's crazy. At least for, like, all the Stoolies, and there's a lot of them. It's wild to watch. Like, people are in awe when he walks by.
I feel like they're in awe at you too, right?
I don't think so, but maybe some of the girls.
Really?
I don't
know. You're being humble, I think.
I don't know, but, like, watching Dave is so crazy because to me he's just, people are so terrified of him.
Right.
Yeah, they think he's, like, this big, mean, angry, grumpy man. I'm like, he's just Dave. Yeah. Like, he's not scary to me. I don't know. Everyone's so scared of him. And I think that's why it works with me on BFFs and, like, the dynamic me, Josh, and Dave have. It's cool.
When you went in for your interview, did you interview with him at all?
I went into his office and I like blacked out. I was so scared. He was like, Chicken Fry, like, what are you doing? He didn't know who I was, what the fuck I was doing. I was just like, hey, yeah, I make videos, I'm super happy to be here. And then he was like, all right, go ahead.
Yeah.
Leave the room. I was like, I'm getting out of here now. Thank so you scared. Time, sir. And what my first episode on BFFs was like the first time I talked to Dave for real.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that was crazy.
Do you guys talk outside the podcast?
Like, yeah, now we do. Stuff? Yeah. Yeah. I sent him an album last night and told him to listen to it.
Did he respond?
Yeah, he said, was this a mass text? Why'd you send it to me? I was like, okay.
You have the two podcasts now,
mm-hmm.
and you're always traveling.
Always traveling.
What's your day-to-day like now?
This past month has been different. So I started dating someone that's on the road, and I've just kind of been like a tour dog right now. I'm a road dog. So I've just been like going around with him, doing my pod from the road, making videos, and really traveling so much. And I used to think I hated traveling, and now it's like the coolest thing ever. Like sitting in this room talking to you, never thought we would meet, like talking to Taylor Lautner at the pickleball tournament.
Insane.
And like I'm going to these random
states.
You're
going to the streamies.
Yeah, like,
you're gonna meet so many people there too.
I know, I'm kind of nervous.
No, you're gonna do great.
I hope so. Yeah. And I'm presenting, I'm like, I hope I don't fuck up on stage. But yeah, the traveling part of this job I think is so cool. I just like love to talk to new people and meet new people, so I think that's the best part of it.
Do you have anything else planned for this weekend besides streamies?
I'm going to a party tonight with Carmen Electra, I'm going to get roasted, who I didn't know who she was, and you're in love.
Yeah, for all the dudes out there, they know.
That's the one.
They know.
They know. Carmen Electra, baby. I got to look her up after this.
Well, because there was two. It was Pam Anderson mm-hmm. and Carmen Electra.
Okay, those are the big dogs.
Yeah. Okay. In my brain, I was like, maybe Carmen Electra is approachable for me. So, like, 15-year-old me had a chance.
I do the same shit. Yeah. I'm like, if you're, like, too fucking hot or, like, unobtainable, I'm like... Sorry, in my Pam. Head, I'm like, you know what? I don't even like you. I don't think you're that good looking.
You're not my type. It wouldn't work out anyway. I wouldn't be into it.
Yeah. I like people that are like less intimidating.
Who handles all your day-to-day scheduling, activities, everything?
Me. I do it all.
Really?
Yeah,
I just got you have a team.
I do, but I don't really use them to my advantage. I don't know. I feel like I'm very capable of like doing my own things. I don't like letting people do other shit for me, but I just got a manager.
Oh, you didn't have one before?
I didn't, because at Barstool is weird. They don't really like management, and they're like, you can do all your own shit, which I kind of appreciate, because it like makes you appreciate what you're doing and like work harder. But I just got a manager, and that's why I'm here, and I'm doing all this random like the pickleball thing and like the streamies and stuff.
Oh,
but
that's sick.
I like make my own calendar, and I'm not that good at it. I'm like so bad at meetings and stuff, but I try to do it all myself because it makes me feel more able-bodied. I'm like, I don't need someone to fucking pick up my lunch and do shit for me, because I've seen a lot of influencers, especially in New York, be the fucking worst. I'm like, dude, the egos on these people. I'm sure you see plenty of it in LA. It's crazy. I'm like, guys, take it down a notch. You just have followers on a screen.
So when you get outside sponsorships, do you handle those on your own?
Which is weird. This is crazy about Barstool. We're not allowed to do like outside sponsorship. So everything goes through Barstool, because on Barstool, you're on contract and on a salary. So like when brands buy in, they buy into like Plan B or BFFs, and it's not like an individual based thing. So like your salary is based off of like what is buying into you.
Right.
It's weird. So you can't do outside things. Like I can do the Celsius tournament just to do it, but like I can't get paid to do it, or like I can't get paid to promote things. I can just like go for fun,
you know,
which is weird. But it's also it's a good thing and a bad thing. Like I have health insurance.
Yeah.
And like I'm like set in a salary. I know where my check's coming from at Barstool.
Do you actually have a 401k?
I do.
Yeah, I heard you say that. Yeah. I was like, that's sick.
I know. I don't really even know what it means, but I'm like, I know my mom keeps saying, make sure you put the money in the 401k. I'm like, okay, I'll listen to you, mom. And like health insurance is cool. And I don't know, I feel more like an adult when I have like a steady paycheck. But then I'm like, fuck, you miss out on a lot of money. Like money is crazy in this industry.
Yeah, it's wild.
Like for like one-off things. What?
Even like random shit. Like upstairs, I showed you the water rower.
You just got a water rower.
I got an email. They asked for my address. I sent it. They mm-hmm. said, are you okay to post a YouTube video? I didn't respond. It came the next day.
That's crazy.
I didn't even respond. I didn't confirm it. It just showed up.
That's crazy. And I just have a water rower upstairs. Like, yeah, it's so wild. The things you get sent, the things you get presented with, that sometimes I'm like, this is fucked. This is too much money. You're really offering someone that much money to post like a 30-second clip? It's just insane how much money is in this industry.
Did you really have kidney stones?
Oh my God, yeah. I almost died.
Painful?
So painful. I was like actually the most painful thing I've ever experienced. And I tried to, I thought I was just like hungover because I was in Florida. I was like on a bender and I came home and I'm like, yeah, now this will go away tomorrow. Wake up. I have 103 fever. I'm like dying. I'm like, this will go away tomorrow. And then I woke up and I couldn't walk. I like collapsed on my bathroom floor. They got lodged in my like tubes. And then I just started peeing a lot of blood. And then I was sweating. I was like, I'm going to die.
And you didn't know what it was at first?
No, I had no idea. So I was really convinced, like, I'm going to die. I was like, this is it. It was crazy. Like, everything in my life started flashing before my eyes. I was like, they're just kidney stones. But I really thought I was going to die because the pain was insane. And then I was in the emergency room for, like, 9 hours. And I still have 4 to pass. I haven't passed them yet.
They're in you now?
Yeah, I only passed one. And they're the same size. So it's like a waiting game of when are these kidney stones going to come out of me.
Did you save it? Do you get it?
No, I couldn't find it.
Sometimes it could be hard eating healthy when you're feeling like you're giving up flavor or fun. That's where I have a food hack for you. Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more nutrition to your day. They're American grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. And they have no added sugar, just fruit, as nature intended. I try to get my fruit in all fun ways, whether it's a smoothie, a salad, it's really just a treat. Frozen Washington Red Raspberries are one of the best kept secrets in the freezer aisle. They're naturally low in sugar, high in fiber, and support gut health, blood sugar balance, and overall wellness. And because they're frozen at the peak of ripeness, they deliver big time nutrition and flavor year round. So whether you're trying to clean up your snacks or build better meals, these berries are a total win. You can find frozen Washington Red Raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery retailers.
And Costco.
If you want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries, get more details on where you can grab them simply by going to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make Washington Red Raspberries a regular part of your routine.
Look for product of the U.S.
But I know it passed because it hurt.
Do they zap it?
They can zap it, but I didn't want to do the... I was just like, I can do this. I'm going to pass it.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, I know. I'm a warrior. Yeah. I'm going to pass this on my own.
Rude warrior.
I don't need no help from no zap.
Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that.
You went to Fiji?
I did go to Fiji.
What was that like?
Crazy. It was like... What was it? We went for 72 hours. It's like a 16-hour flight. So we flew across the world to go to Fiji for like Love Island. Never in my life did I think I was going to go to Fiji. I didn't even know it was a real place. I thought it was just a water bottle. And but I was sick there. I was on antibiotics for the kidney stones because I got this crazy infection. So the whole time I'm there, everyone's like getting wasted and having so much fun. And I'm just like being a little bitch in the back, like, okay, I can't drink, like, I can't have that much fun. But it was super cool. We got to go to the Love Island villa. Do you watch Love Island?
No.
It was sick.
I drink the water all the time though, and I see how pretty it is on the bottle.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But it was so cool. The villa was insane. And then I was like, I want to go on Love Island. And when I was there, someone, like a producer, heard me. They were like, wait, do you really? I was like, no, I can't fuck on camera. They fuck on camera and stuff.
Do they?
Yeah, it's like everything. There's like cameras in the showers.
Is it Netflix?
Yeah. I know. Crazy. Too much. I can't do that.
I feel like you'd kill it at reality TV, though.
I don't know. I've been on a couple Barstool reality shows.
What reality show would you kill it at? Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
You just hung out with those guys,
I
right?
know. Dude, I was on... Okay, you're from Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. I used to go to the... I'd see the Shore House all the time.
So sick. Okay, that show raised me. That's why I was like...
Do you remember when it first premiered?
Yes.
Everyone was like, fuck this show. All the sponsors pulled out of the episode.
Yes. And then it was the biggest thing ever.
Yep.
And then I had a cameo on Jersey Shore Vacation, like when it first came out the other week.
Uh-huh.
And that was like a full circle for me. Everyone's like, it's Jersey Shore. I'm like, dude, you have no idea. This shit raised me. I thought, I want to be Snooki. I want to be JWoww. Like, me and Grace, that's who we want to be.
JWoww?
Yeah, JWoww and Snooki.
She was my favorite.
She was so awesome. She's so sweet, too. They just came on Plan B, and it was, like, the best thing ever. They were all, like, Dina was blacked out on the show. She was, like, screaming in the microphone. It was so cool. But, yeah, I think Jersey Shore, I would crush it. Or Big Brother. I like games. Yeah, like, I want to be secretive and, like, manipulative on a reality show. Maybe I'll get my chance. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. Let me on a reality show, anyone.
Someone's watching.
Yeah, come on. Hit me up.
Rough and Rowdy.
Rough and Rowdy.
Do you go to those?
I went to the one Grace fought in.
This recent one, right? In December?
Yeah, yeah.
My friend Susie was there?
Yeah, Susie fought. Yeah.
I don't know if she fought.
Susie was supposed to fight Grace.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, Susie, back the fuck down.
I know. It was so funny, dude. Okay, so Susie, it was so weird. Me and Grace were in North Carolina, and I had gotten a flat tire. We're sitting on the side of the road, and Grace gets a DM from Susie being like, you dumb fucking bitch. Like, and we're like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? I was like, I'm going to kill this bitch. Why is she talking to me like that? But I didn't know that she wanted to fight Grace because of Rough and Rowdy. We thought she was just like being so mean. And we were like, what is going on? And then she's like, we could settle this in the ring. And then the shit talking started going back and forth, which is so corny because it's so funny to like sit there and make the shit talk up. Like, is this mean enough? Am I going to say it? And I wanted them to fight so bad.
Oh, I did not.
I did so bad. I was like, this is perfect. But then it didn't end up working. And Grace fought like a random fan.
Oh, it was a fan.
She bought a fan because she didn't have anyone to fight 2 weeks before the fight. Yeah. So we had to like put out a please someone fight me thing. And both of them like trained for like 2 weeks and it was hilarious to watch. But she crushed it. She won.
Would you ever get in the ring? Call someone up. Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner, you're going down. You beat me in pickleball, but I'll beat your ass in the ring. Dude, I don't know.
That picks up traction.
Yeah, imagine.
TMZ.
I wanted to fight Tana just because I think that would be hilarious, but I don't think I would ever do it. I don't have the balls to do it. I'd rather get in like a street fight.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I used to get in a lot of fights in college.
From being drunk?
I'm that girl at the bar where it's like someone bumps you and then you're drunk and you're like, why the fuck did you just bump me?
Oh, really?
Get into a fight. Or like people like say shit to my friends and I'm like, that friend, we're like, what'd you say to her? But I'm not anymore. But in college, I was ratchet.
Yeah. I met my wife the first night, she was really drunk and she pulled on this girl's skirt. I'm like, oh, that's cool. They're friends. And the girl looks over. She's like, stop fucking touching me. And she kept pulling her skirt on the side.
They weren't friends?
I don't know who they were. She said that they were friends, but then I don't know. And I was like, this girl is fucking crazy. And then it turns out that's like the one night she drinks out of the year.
So, wait, that's now we're married. Now they're married. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, drinking will do that shit to you.
You have the two pods.
Mm-hmm.
One for the girls.
One for the girls.
One for the boys.
For the boys, yeah.
Do you have different kind? Because I guess BFFs, you guys talk more topical.
Yeah, it's crazy because everyone is always saying like, "Oh, she's so different on Plan Bree or so different on TikTok compared to BFFs." And I'm like, "Yeah, because they're different things." Like, if I'm not gonna get on BFFs and start talking deep about my life like I do on Plan Bree, that wouldn't make sense. Like, I was brought in as a third mic on BFFs to like give a woman's input or like, I don't know, fuck around with Dave and Josh. It's just a different type of pod where people are always, they get mad at me. They're like, you're so fake, you're so different. I'm like, dude, no, because I'm adapting to the environment that I'm in. It's a different fucking podcast. So it's weird. I definitely have two different personalities on Plan Bree versus BFFs for sure. But I think it comes out a little more on BFFs now. I used to be so nervous. I was just a little girl.
On BFFs?
Yeah, I was so intimidated. Like, Josh was this huge mega star and Dave is Dave. Like I said, everyone was terrified of him. So I'm like, are they just going to shit on me? But now, obviously, I know them and it's not scary at all. But I was super intimidated when I first got on it. That's why I said like 3 words an episode.
And you would just sit there?
I would just sit there and wait to be like, what do you think, Brianna? I'm like, okay, I don't know. Yes, boss.
Whatever you think, man.
Yeah, but now I definitely open up more and it's fun. Now we get the guests sometimes, and the ones that aren't scared to fucking come on the show. But yeah, BFFs is fun. I love doing it.
Who have you guys, has anyone like pulled out that you were really excited about?
There's been a lot recently, like people will have interest in coming on BFFs, then like one of our episodes will come out and then a controversy will come out
and then they pull out
and then they don't want to come on. Or like Madison Beer was going to come on for so long, Dave talks about it all the time, then she just stopped answering him, and then like Addison Rae, and I don't know, a lot of people pull out because they're so scared, they think we're mean. But if you come on the pod, we're nice to you. We try to bully people into coming on to the
it's
pod.
So funny because I know you said that on the podcast.
Yeah, like we're mean outside of it to like, I don't know, make controversy and shit. But then when you come on, we're like, we love you. Like the shit that happened with Bobby. Bobby came on, we were so nice to her. We kind of not bullied her, but like Dave kind of said shit like, fuck her, she didn't want to come on the pod, she's not funny unless like it's her own shit. And then she came on, she was great, and then the falling out happened after, and now people are like, I don't want to come on.
Right.
Yeah.
What's everybody's roles? So like Bobby decides to come on, do you each do your own research and you each come up with your own questions, or is it kind of like a group?
So this is where people get a lot like super mad about BFFs, and this is always the top comment, like, why don't you guys do research before? Like, why do you guys have no idea what we're talking about? So we have, like, the producers make our sheets for us, so we don't know what we're talking about until we get into it, which is like
what, that's for every episode.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what made BFFs BFFs, is like shocked about what we're going to talk about. We don't know what the next thing on the sheet's going to be, or like it's kind of funny to give input on something you have like no idea on.
Isn't that scary though?
It is, yeah, but we're so used to it now where it's like if we started preparing and knew everything, I don't know, that's just how BFFs has always been and what it is. So people are always mad that we don't really know what we're talking about, but I'm like, it's three idiots just shooting the shit, like it's not that serious. This is not the Oprah Winfrey show, like we're just fucking around, so we have no idea what we're talking about until we sit down and record.
Do you ever get major backlash of things you say?
Oh, all the time, yeah. Well, people hate on me on BFFs. Like, the guys...
Is it because you're a girl?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. And then people, they're going to get mad that I even say that. Because, it's because you fucking suck. I'm like, dude, why is everyone so mean to me? I don't get it. I swear I'm, like, the nicest person ever. And I just say what I think on BFFs. And people, I don't know, people think I'm, like, trying to impress Dave or Josh, but I say the same shit that I say on my pod that I would on BFF. So
right,
yeah, it's weird. It's a weird world, especially the BFFs world, because it's, I feel more the stoolies are involved, so it's male dominated, like in the comments and shit at least, and they just hate Brie, man. They hate on Brie, but the girlies always have my back.
And in the BFFs one, it's kind of more, not a broader audience, but
yeah,
because it's
sure,
the topical stuff, so anyone can just tune into
exactly
that.
And then they're like, who is this random bitch saying something that doesn't even make sense? Because half the time, like I said, we don't ever know what we're talking about.
That's so funny. I'd be terrified of that.
I know, it is kind of scary. And then there's always like a, so they do this thing called BFF's corner at like the end of the pod where all the producers were like sneak into our lives and figure out like headlines that we did or like random shit that we did. They'll pull clips from Plan B of me like talking shit, and then they'll just play them on the pod, and I sweat when BFF corner comes up.
Like, fuck, what did I say? Because
it's always like, yeah, I'm like, fuck, I don't remember even saying that. What did I do? What did I say? And I'm like so nervous when BFF's corner comes around. I went through the ringer in the past couple weeks on BFFs. They put me through it, so yeah. I think I've earned my stay. I went through it.
So you and Josh were playing the pickleball tournament today. Mm-hmm. What's your guys' relationship outside the podcast? All three of you.
Yeah. Well, we kind of always make fun of that. Me and Josh are like the actual BFFs. But like, obviously, Dave's not going to come hang out with me and Josh randomly. Like, he's a lot older than us. But me and Josh are definitely super, like, way closer than Dave is to either of us, but I think it's the age thing. Also,
are they gonna pull that clip and put it in?
Yeah, of course. And Dave's gonna say, fuck you guys, you leave me out of everything, called me old, called me short. That's always what it is. But yeah, I don't know. I also like come to LA a lot and see Josh. It was interesting because I didn't know if we were gonna like get along or like each other, and then when we met, it really is like a brother-sister relationship. People always like, I hate when people try to ship us, because it's like, dude, that's my little bro. It's so crazy. So yeah, we have a really good relationship. I love Josh.
I mean, people ship you with a lot of people.
Well, that's the thing about being a girl on social media. Any guy that you stand next to, it's like, I ship. Or any guy that you stand next to, it's like, oh, they fuck, she's a whore. So it's like, you can't win.
People shipped you and Theo.
People shipped me and Theo. I'm like, dude, we just did a podcast together. And they're like, the energy was there. This was like a first date. I'm like, dude, we're just doing a podcast together. It's crazy.
That's so funny.
I know.
Back in college, what kind of student were you?
I was all right. I had a 4.0 at one point.
Really?
Yeah, which was crazy.
And for your med stuff?
Yeah, for like one semester. But that was crazy for me. I was like, what the hell? I wasn't a good student in high school at all. I think I had like a 2.5 GPA, but I did really well on my SATs. So that's what got me into college. And when I got to school, I tried to balance like a... sports. I was a diver in college.
Really?
So random, dude. So random. I can't even, people are like, what? When I say that. I did cheerleading and diving in college. Then I was pre-med and I was also party girl. So I was like addicted to Adderall my sophomore year of college. Like it was crazy. It was actually really scary. So in that stint though, I was like, this is a limitless pill. I can do it all. And then I realized I was going to die because I was taking like 160 milligrams of Adderall a day, not sleeping, partying, and fucking going to diving practice at 4 a.m. So once I realized that was crazy, I stopped taking the Adderall, stopped doing well on my tests because I started sleeping, not staying up all night and studying. And then it kind of like, I just put all of my work ethic into Barstool because I was doing both at the same time. And I was like, I just enjoy this way more. Like I'm happy to do it rather than like sitting in a library till And I know it's like, I'm lucky enough to do it, but I was like, fuck this, I'm dropping out and leaving. So I guess I wasn't that good of a student.
Were you in sorority?
No, not a sorority gal.
What kind of parties were there?
Okay, so my school didn't really have sororities. It was like based on the lacrosse house, the football house.
That was like mine too.
Yeah, and there was
the swim house.
Yeah, swim house was always, oh my God. Okay, dude, swimmers are crazy. Have you ever been to a swim party? Have you ever like, they, orgies, all.
Oh no, I wasn't part of those orgies.
Orgies, because I was a diver, so I had to like go.
I had to be part of them.
They made me have sex with them. No, it wasn't like that, but I've witnessed, swimmers are fucking weird, bro. And I know they get a bad rep, and it's like swimmers are weird in high school and shit. And then you get to college, and I was like, no, they're cool. They're super nice. They were like, great. Then we go to the parties. Everyone's like taking their pants off, and like everyone's hooking up in the bathroom. Then they'll all like rotate down into the fucking basement. This was one swim party that I went to, my first one. It's like, I don't know if I can do this, man. This is fucking weird. And swimmers.
Did you go there as a freshman?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know. And I was petrified. I was like, what is going on? Everyone just has sex like this in college? Like, I was like, I was not a sexual person in high school. Like, my first boyfriend was junior year of high school. Like, I didn't really, like, make out with a guy until I was 17. Like, I was late blossoming. My high school was weird. Like, no one hooked up. And if they did, it was a secret. It was just, like, the girls and the guys, it was, like, a middle school dance until we were, like, 18, which is so weird. But then I get to college, and I'm like, oh, my God, you guys are all going to get STDs. I was, for some reason, so scared of STDs. Like, I was like, sex means you're going to die. I was so scared. And then the orgies, the swimmers, it's like, what the fuck is going on? And then I, like, stopped talking to the swimmers. I was petrified, and I never went back to another swim party. I prefer, lax boys are terrifying. This is how I, like, categorize people in high school or in college, like, what guy to date. Date a football player. Don't date a lacrosse player ever. Don't ever date a lacrosse player in college. And like basketball is mid-tier. Yeah, those are like the good guys are football players. Basketball's all right. Lacrosse, you're going to get cheated on and an STD.
What was your partying schedule like during that?
Partying schedule? My school is kind of small. I kind of like made it all my friends drink all the time. But I would drink from like, I would party from Wednesday to Sunday.
And then Monday, Tuesday recover?
Yeah.
And what kind of alcohol? Back at it.
Oh, man. Anything I could get my hands
anything?
On.
Anything?
Anything. I was like, I could drink more.
Did you have Four Loko?
Yeah.
At that time?
Yeah, we did. And we had these McGillicuddy nips. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but they taste like mint, like toothpaste, and you just shoot them back. You could drink a whole 12 sleeve, and oh my God, it was the best thing ever. I got arrested in college for holding a White Claw, and I had to go to court, and I had to do 600 hours of community service.
You got a mugshot?
No, and I'm like, what's the point of it?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I know, and then I tried to get arrested at some of my college tour parties just for a mugshot merch, and it didn't work. I literally, like, laid down in front of a cop car, and they were just like, you're an idiot, get up.
I pulled his gun, he still wouldn't arrest me.
I shot someone, and they were like, just go home.
Go, chicken fry, go.
Yeah, it was so crazy. Yeah, I guess I'm past wanting to get arrested, but I really wanted to for a while. Have you ever gotten arrested?
No, but that mugshot would be cool. I was on an episode of Campus PD once.
No way.
Yeah.
For what?
We were at a house party and the cops came and you could see me walking out of the party with my bright white sweatpants.
Wore white sweatpants to a party?
Yeah, no one talked to me.
That's crazy. I don't know why I had no friends in college.
Yeah, I thought I was funny. So you're doing the streamies this weekend?
Yes, streamies this weekend, presenting.
With Tana. Terrified?
I don't know. I just presented an award at the Barstool Awards, which is very different, but it was fun. I think I like presenting. I'd rather do that than like have to get up there and give a random like acceptance speech, even though I'm not nominated for anything. But I feel like it's less pressure because there's like a script that they give you. So I don't know. I'm excited. I've never been to the streamies. It's so weird being in New York. All the events are here. So like I have to turn down a lot of stuff because I don't want to travel across the country for like one night in a party and an event. So when I come to these things or when I come to LA, I'm like, I got to bang everything out and go to everything and see everyone. So it's weird. I don't know.
So that's why you're hanging out with Carmen later.
Yeah, I'm hanging out with Carmen. Oh my God. I'll get a picture and I'll send it to you.
Oh, please.
I will.
Wait, if she's
maybe
there?
I'll ask her to make a video for you and be like, can you say hi to Joe?
Oh my God.
I'll try. I'll be drunk. So I'll do anything when I'm drunk.
Yeah,
fearless when I'm drunk. I'll be Carmen, Joe, say hi to Joe. She's like, what the fuck? Security tackles me to the ground. I'll try my best.
That'd be sick. Mm-hmm. Okay. We had one fan question.
Okay.
How do you get rid of your hangovers?
How do I get over my hangovers?
Get rid of them, yeah. Do you have a trick to avoid them?
Okay. So I have learned through the years that mixing alcohol, obviously, you're going to get a terrible hangover. I stick to like
You're bringing me back to like my alcohol days.
It's not drink anymore?
Not anymore, no.
Like ever?
I try not to. I got like, I think at my wedding was the first time I found that balance of like being drunk and still having fun. Because I normally just black out.
I'm going through that right, well, not going through that right now, but I'm
blacking out right now.
Dude, like I've like looked back at the drunks I used to get. I've like turned a leaf, which is nice. I used to party like fucking crazy. And like you said, like I would just drink to black out. Like I wouldn't just be like, I can have a couple. It would be like a nonstop thing where you go all night and you get as drunk as you possibly can. And then you're fucking hungover for 4 days. I've realized that's not fun, not sustainable. And it's not worth it because the anxiety, oh my gosh. So I've stepped out of that zone, which is like why people are like, you've changed, you're not the crazy party animal. I'm like, dude, I'm just not 21 anymore. And like, I have to like wake up and like talk to people and do things. I can't be hungover and belligerently drunk for a week straight. So now I'm just like doing 6 beers throughout like a whole entire night and I feel great. It's good.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, like I've definitely switched it up lately, except for like I told you earlier, I got like super drunk like I used to this weekend, and I've been regretting it and like itching and like thinking about everything I could have possibly said. I don't want to feel like that anymore. I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah. Do you know Jason Nash?
Yeah.
At his roast, I remember that was the last time I blacked out, but the first person went on and I don't remember anything after that.
Crazy, right? Yeah. And you don't even like know you're at that point until you're at that point and you're like, oh, it's fun, I feel great. And then you black out, and I'm a walking blackout, like talking blackout. So I'll be blacked out having full coherent conversations and people think I'm like sober and I'm saying the wildest shit. So people will like talk to me the next day and be like, dude, you're fucking crazy, man. Like, I can't believe you said this, did that. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to die and go under a rock because I wouldn't remember what I said.
But those friendships you like find out that you had the next day are so funny.
I know.
I'm like, who did I talk to?
For how long? For 3 hours we talked in a bathroom? What is going on? They know everything about me and I don't even remember your name. It's terrifying. So I've given up the blackout life, but I still like to drink because it's like it's bad, but it makes me feel like a superhero. I'm like, when I have a little bit of liquid courage, dude, it is so awesome. I love to drink. I'll never give up drinking ever. Maybe that will change, but as of now, I feel like Bert Kreischer. I'm like, I will never give up drinking.
Yeah, you're the female Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
You're the machine.
I'm the fucking machine, man. No, I'm not.
The machine.
That fucking bit, man. Did you see the movie?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
It's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I heard it was like insane.
Yeah.
I gotta watch it. I'll watch that tonight and then chill with Carmen Electra.
That's fucking the dream.
The dream life. Bert Kreischer and Carmen Electra, baby. That sounds like a Lax Boys dream.
You're in a relationship now?
Yes.
Can you ever see yourself getting married?
I definitely want, like, separately from this person. I mean, it's new, but I totally want to get married. And I'm having this weird, like, I don't know if it's an identity crisis, but I don't know. Once I turn 24, I'm like, holy shit, you've got to, like, start setting yourself up for like the future. And I feel like not old, because I know I'm still so young, and people
quarter
are
life
like
crisis.
Yeah, a little quarter life crisis. And I'm like, I start thinking about kids, like I want to be a mom so bad, and I'm like, fuck, do I already want that life right now? It's weird. And I tell my friends about it, especially Grace. She like wants to slit my throat when I'm like, I want to be a mom. She's like, shut the fuck up,
we're party animals,
we're party, we're never gonna have children, you can't do that to
we're
me
I'm made like, a pact, dude, fifth grade, you remember that, bitch.
We have to, yeah, you fucking bitch, you can't have a kid till you're 45 when you're infertile, so it doesn't happen. I'm like, dude, Grace, I want to have a baby. And now I just say it to her all the time, like, having a baby, Grace. She's like, I'll fucking kill you. She like literally won't talk to me. She like gets so mad.
That's so
like
funny.
2 hours will go by and then she's like, are you done? But yeah, I totally want to get married and have kids like soon. Yeah. What about you, kids?
Yeah, then maybe in like 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to pop out. I want to pop out like 4 kids by the time I'm 34.
Do like a little Congo line. Maybe add quadruplets.
Yeah, because you can do that shit now. You can like make your babies in a lab and shit.
Yeah,
you can,
yeah.
If you want twins, you can just go have twins, which is so fucking crazy. So I think I'm going to pop some out in the next couple years, hopefully.
Sorry, Grace.
Sorry, Grace. You're going to be the best auntie ever, though.
Auntie
and we
Grace.
We can still party. I'll get a babysitter.
Cool. Well, what's next for you?
Next for me, I gotta get back to New York. We're going a live show tour, like Plan Brie, and
are you guys doing a full podcast on that?
Yeah, so that's we do sick. Like the pod live. We've only done one live show podcast before and it went really well. We did it in Boston, but this is like the first tour we're doing for it, which is kind of scary because it's like I love podding, but you forget that there's an audience, and now like you get to see them and see if they like it and react to it. So I don't know, I'm really nervous, but I'm really excited. That's gonna be like in the next couple months. We're on the road, so that's that's what's next for me.
That's so sick. You get to tour with your best friend.
I know, dude. It's awesome. Like, I feel bad for everyone that doesn't have a best friend like me. Losers.
Cool. Well, go check it out. Go listen to Plan B. It's going to be linked down below. Go listen
Hell
to
yeah.
BFFs. It's going to be linked down below. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Have fun with Carmen.
Thank you.
All right. Lightweights out.
Cool. Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Beautiful. Of course.